This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
So why the difference in the voice that greets you to the show this morning? John Neighbors is out. And if you were with us yesterday, you noticed he disappeared in the 8 a.m. hour. It's the strangest thing. I've done this for over 20 years now. Been part of this show since 2005 in one way, shape, or form. And you know, full-time on this. I've never seen anyone injured during the show. So we're cruising along, and John had a little bit of a back issue throughout the show. Ty, by the time 8 a.m. rolled around, I've never seen anyone. I felt bad for the dude. John was using an office chair as like a walker. It looked like a nursing home in the Morning Rush studios as he was attempting to get around. He laid in the floor for the last hour of the show. He was in so much pain. This is a bad deal. So he is out today. He has a herniated disc.
I got some karma coming my way. Because yeah. I was making
Because you have
fun
been
him.
Crushing me. You have recently been crushing John about our age. And now the 30-year-old on the show is down for the count right now with a herniated disc.
Yeah, and I thought he was going a little over the top.
You thought he was being soft yesterday.
Yes, and it was a complete joke. And I thought he was just like...
Yeah. But during the breaks, you were really hammering him.
Yeah, I was giving it to him.
But so he goes to the doctor and they say, oh, no, herniated disc, pinched nerve, bed rest for you. So,
yeah, I got some karma coming my way.
He couldn't go today.
That's all I got to say about that, karma.
So he is out. Then, so we said, all right, we'll bring Nick Mason in. We go to the bullpen. Nick Mason, come join us. We'll have Nick in. We're going to talk some basketball today. Arkansas, South Carolina coming up this weekend. Nick, come on back. He was here yesterday. We'll talk some more with Nick. Nick's in a car accident on the way in this morning, so he may or may not be here today as well. Anyway, we're here. We're glad you're here, and we're going to talk a lot about this recruiting class that's wrapped up. You really feel like you're making some strides. We've talked a lot about Arkansas and being in the top 15, 13th nationally, top 20 class. It's gradually slip back a little bit as we push closer and closer to National Signing Day. Arkansas only went 1-for-4 on the players they were after yesterday. We're going to get into that as well. But as it shakes out, listen, there are many, many recruiting services you can look at. Tom Lemming had them at like 18. You can look at Rivals. You can look at all the different ones. I choose to look at the ESPN rankings. Some will scoff at that because it doesn't put Arkansas in the best light. I just choose it because it's ESPN, and quite frankly, most of the stations you're listening to this morning are affiliated with ESPN, so it just seems like the easy one to pick. And I do that consistently year after year, whether it's good or bad. But here's the thing. When you look at those rankings, and I think they're fair, not all of these rankings are the same, so you know, take it for what it's worth. But in the end, Arkansas ends up with the 23rd class nationally. Not bad. A big step forward for Chad Morris in his first full recruiting cycle. And I think that's something that is to be noted here. Last year's class, he, you know, certainly didn't get a full run at recruiting those players. This time he did, and I think the results showed. But in the end, the results are 23rd nationally, which doesn't sound too bad on the surface. Top 25. That's where you're trying to guide this program to, is back to being a top 25 program. This is a step in that direction. How do they do in the SEC? That's where it always gets tough in this league. And you just look at the rankings amongst SEC schools. Bama was number one again nationally. No surprise there. Georgia number two. A&M number three. LSU number seven, Florida, Tennessee, Auburn, South Carolina, Ole Miss. Then you find Arkansas in that order. That's 10 if you weren't counting at home or in your car. 10th in the SEC. How did that stack up in the West? Well, I mentioned Bama and A&M, two of the top three classes nationally. LSU checked in at 7. Auburn and Ole Miss still ahead of Arkansas. Arkansas 6th in the West. And tied Mississippi State, who's last in the West in recruiting, last, according to ESPN service, is 24th nationally. Now, that just speaks to the difficulty of recruiting in this conference when you are in the top 25, but last in your division. In fact, Mississippi State at 24th in the country, based on ESPN's rankings, is 11th in the conference. Only Missouri, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt fall in behind of everyone in the West. Missouri at 34, and you wonder how they would do if some of these recent
sanctions
and probation and some of the things that came down that we talked about last week with Missouri, would that 34 even hold up if some of that had been, some light had been shed on that earlier, or would there have been some defections from their class? Missouri at 34, Kentucky at 35, a little surprising. They started out hotter. You thought after the season they had, maybe they would rise a little more, but it just shows you that how difficult it is in this league. Kentucky at 35 and Vandy at 60th nationally. So, you know, in the end, it's more status quo in this league. And as good a season as Arkansas had on the recruiting front, you still don't feel like you made as much headway when it comes to where you stack up in this league when you're 10th in the league, 6th in the division. That's how hard it is.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the 1-for-4 on the iffy players. You get Amonte Spivey, but you miss on Adonis Ote, who ends up flipping to USC. He's been committed to the Razorbacks since August 1st.
So that might have moved you up to 5th, but I don't think that's going to get you all the way up to top 12 in the country.
No, that's true, but I'm just talking.
I mean, you probably would have finished ahead of Ole Miss, but even with those players, if you'd went 4-for-4 instead of 1-for-4 yesterday, you're still in the bottom couple of schools in your conference.
I'm just talking about the overall outlook from the fan base,
right?
Because you end the day basically missing on Adonis Ote, mm-hmm, missing on Russell, and missing on Lakia Henry. That's
correct.
More not necessarily competing with the others, because you're just not going to compete with the likes of Alabama, well, LSU, Auburn, and A&M.
And USC, but with Ote. So.
Yeah, that's where I think fans are a little more. I mean, they're still happy with this class. As we mentioned, this is one of the better classes in Arkansas football history. Most would have it at number 2 in the history of the program.
And that's the point I'm working towards, is you had one of the better classes you have had in SEC recruiting history. And really since recruiting rankings and following this really became important after Arkansas joined the SEC. So that's really the only period of time you need to look at.
I think 02 or 03 is when they really started digging into it.
And Arkansas obviously joined the league in 92. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the better SEC classes, and it's still 6th in the division.
And I think, you speak to that. It's not only tough to compete in the SEC in terms of recruiting, but specifically the SEC West. We always talk about how dominant mm-hmm. the conference is on terms, what you see on the gridiron, what you see play out every Saturday. But, I mean, you're recruiting against a national champion in Jimbo Fisher, multiple national champions in Nick Saban. I know Ed Orgeron isn't exactly the best on-the-field coach, but he's a hellacious recruiter.
And LSU's, as a program, has won a couple of mm-hmm. national titles in recent times.
Then you got Gus, who's a really good recruiter at Auburn, who's mm-hmm. been to a national championship. I don't know. I can't speak to what Matt Luke and Joe Moorhead are doing at the Mississippi schools, but, I mean, that's just not – it's not an easy
– It seems like the recruiting rankings and the finish in recruiting – ends up about like you have the hierarchy in the SEC to begin with.
We always talk about, it seems like year after year, we throw out the question, where does Arkansas fit in, not only in the SEC, but the SEC West? And typically, I say it's probably about 5th in front of the two Mississippi schools in terms of the attractiveness. I know it hasn't been attractive as of late because you hadn't been winning football games. But it's just, you just got an uphill battle year in, year out if you're Chad Morris.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Richard, I'm sure you're ready for a little rest and relaxation. These Thursdays in the following National Signing Day in February are a little easier than they used to be for you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. No comparison, really. It's December is really the big sign-in period now, and February, you know, what, they signed four yesterday. Uh-huh. So, I mean, that's it's nothing like it used to be. No.
Sure seems like, you know, the stories oftentimes here at Arkansas about the players you didn't get on National Signing Day versus the ones you did sign on National Signing Day. So let's start with the ones that slipped away. Adonis Otte goes to Southern Cal. They seem to be making a late push, and Arkansas came up short there. Then Lakea Henry and Chris Russell, both linebacker prospects, got away to conference foes in Ole Miss and A&M. What happened with these guys?
You know, well, with Adonis, you know, he seemed to be trending towards USC after he visited there. That wasn't a big surprise. Chris Russell, it looked like Arkansas was in good shape at one time, and then he swayed towards Texas A&M after Jimbo Fisher's in-home. So that wasn't a big surprise. The big surprise was Henry. He was telling people, and he was coming. It was a shocker. It really was. It seemed like yesterday he was still coming, and then last few hours before he was supposed to announce his decision, obviously announced for Ole Miss. So that may be one of the ones that you look back on and say it's probably one of the bigger shockers, because for so long, Arkansas was in a really good good shape with him, and he was telling people he was coming, and he even up to maybe yesterday morning or mid morning or something like that. And so it was that's a head scratcher.
26 players committed, 21 signed early, counting Ben Hicks into that number. What do you think the most impactful position group was out of this 2019 class?
Receivers, defensive line, definitely. Receivers, all those guys, according to, services, all of them are four-star prospects, at least by one of the services. And then the defensive line class, it's really deep and talented. The defensive ends are really, playmakers and guys that can come off the edge. Some of those guys, say Colin Clay, 6'5", about 255, 260. He's a candidate to possibly move inside, but I think he could be one of those guys that could remain outside. So it just depends, how much more he grows. And Eric Gregory, I think he'll be an inside guy, even though he played defensive end as a senior. But I think because he's about 280 pounds right now, so he's probably going to continue to grow and grow into a defensive tackle.
Richard Davenport, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, our guest here on the Morning Rush. Richard, looking at where this class ended up, do you think the consensus for most fans, you think they're happy?
Yeah, I do. I do, especially coming off a 2-10 season. I don't think anybody would think that you'd be able to recruit like that in coming off of another losing season. So, I think there's a lot of reasons to be happy. A lot of those guys should be able to see the field next year. You're in a rebuilding process, and this goes towards a big step towards doing that. And I don't think you can be anything but happy and optimistic about the future.
Richard, it seems like in order to get Arkansas where they want to be in the SEC, and you look at Alabama at 1, A&M at 3, Georgia stuck in there in the middle at 2, and LSU, Auburn, all of these top 12, top 15 classes in the country, they're just loaded up on 4- and 5-star guys and a very small amount of 3-star players. That's ultimately what you got to construct your class of 25 is having 22 or 23 4- and 5-star players if you want to get up in the ranks of where the league's elite are.
Yeah, depending on the services, they had 10, 11 4-stars in this class, and so you you go forward and you continue to recruit hard, and this staff has shown that, they definitely do that. And one of the things that they do very, very well and can lead to success is getting kids on campus. They've shown that even with some of the prospect days they've had thus far, and they're going to have another one on Sunday, and then they'll have a big one on March the 9th. You look back with this staff last year about this time, they had about a few weeks after National Signing Day, they had about 50 kids on campus for a weekend, and 11 of those kids signed with Arkansas this year. So they have a track record of getting kids on campus, high caliber kids, and then you factor in once they start winning at a higher clip, that's going to make things much, much easier as far as getting kids on campus and being able to get in the door with some of the kids that they may not be able to get into the door with right now. So that's why I say there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. You start winning and get it 8, 9, 10, maybe 11 game a win season once in a while. That's a recipe for success and possibly even get it better in recruiting. So yeah, I think that will they be able to do what Alabama and Georgia does year in, year out? Probably not, but they can close the gap.
Richard Davenport at AR Recruiting Guy on Twitter. Richard, what do you think of the new moniker Diamond Gain for the 2020 class that they're trying to recruit?
Well, it kind of plays off the flag, the Arkansas state flag, and then obviously Arkansas and the Diamond Mine and Murfreesboro. I think it's something. Well, if you notice, a lot of the kids were retweeting that. They really liked it, and obviously the two X's represent 2020. So it's something that I think that they came up with. It was a big hit with the recruits, and you know that's another thing that they do well is social media. They're very creative in that area. And let's face it, with the kids nowadays, they like the flash, and Arkansas is very good with the flash.
You mentioned the jump that they had a year ago on the 19 class and sewing that up. How far ahead do you think they are at this point for 2020 and 2021? How far developed is that?
Yeah, they're doing really good because they were on those some of these kids last year, and obviously they'll continue to do that going forward. And then because of the early signing period, and they signed 21 kids. They're able to really focus on the 2021 classes, even the 2022 classes. They extended some offers to kids. So this only, you know, it only shows that they're going to be able to work on their relationships with kids, and that's the key in recruiting is being able to build relationships with the kids, their high school coaches, even their parents. And going forward, I think not only is it going to help them with the 2020 classes, but the two classes below them. So, again, there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic.
Last one, we'll get you out of here. The East Texas pipeline. That's always been critical for Arkansas, that the Dallas metro area, and then moving east and into the Tyler and that north part of Texas in that corner. Arkansas has developed a lot of relationships with his coaching staff there. Just talk about that for a minute and evaluate that and what the future for Arkansas is there in the northern part of Texas.
Yeah, Jeff Traylor is well known in that area, and he does an excellent job of recruiting East Texas. I think, you know, the first commitment of last year came from East Texas. Now, they had one kid commit in February of last year, and he eventually flipped to Memphis. So technically, the first commitment for the 2019 class came from East Texas, and a few others came from East Texas. TQ Jackson was another. So I think they're around several kids, and several of the kids are planning to visit Arkansas, and I think they're in good shape with those guys. And I think you're probably just going to see them continue to get kids out of East Texas. And it's a no-brainer. It's a short trip to Fayetteville. Arkansas has had success out of East Texas in the past. They should have been there over, you know, probably the, a lot more so previously. But I know under Coach Nutt, they were pretty successful in recruiting that area. And I think they're going to be doing that even more so with Coach Traylor.
All right, he's the best, Richard Davenport. Richard, thanks for jumping on early with us this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Speaking of pain yesterday, not quite as on the level of what John was experiencing, but Arkansas went 1-for-4 yesterday on recruiting day battles. This never, ever works out for Arkansas. When, I mean, the Alex Collins deal where the mom ran off with the recruiting, the letter of intent, is like the only, and I thought then, I'd bet everything I own, Collins will never be a Razorback. These things never work out. He ended up being a Razorback. That's like one of the few recruiting day, National Signing Day wins Arkansas has recently gotten. Yesterday, you get Amonte Spivey to sign with the Razorbacks after Ole Miss put a late push on. But, Ty, you lost Adonis Ote to Southern Cal. And then what was really hurtful about, am I going to say this right, Lakeia Henry?
I think it's
close enough.
Yeah, close enough.
Close enough. Count it. Where's the ding? Ole Miss, Chris Russell to A&M. Not only did it sting because both were linebacker recruits you'd been on for a while, but both went to other schools within your division. That, to me, is like salt in the wound.
You weren't as
salty. It'd be like kicking John in the back right now.
You weren't as salty about Russell because it was pretty inevitable that he was heading to Texas A&M. Jimbo made a late push for him. It looked like that was a signed and sealed delivered deal. But with Lakeia Henry, Arkansas had him for a late on-campus visit this weekend. Scoot Harris was like, this guy's ours. The whole mindset was Lakeia Henry's coming to Arkansas. Then all of a sudden, we actually had Danny West on yesterday, and he was like, I'm changing my crystal ball prediction. Things have changed. He's going to Ole Miss. And I looked, and I have friends texting me, people tweeting at our Twitter account, at Hit That Line AR, Ole Miss dropped a bag, they're back to their old ways. You wonder, you're like, how did this happen? Like, how did it just go 180? I mean, recruiting, there's people change their mind recruiting. I've heard his mom likes Ole Miss a lot, but I don't know. So that was just, I think Lakeia Henry, Ote, it the last week or so, maybe a little longer, it looked like he was headed off to USC. So you weren't as worried about that. But really, the Lakeia Henry, just the last day or so, just the complete 180. That's what I think Arkansas fans were like, what happened?
What do you think Arkansas's rankings would have been? I know it's hard to exactly predict, but obviously, you take something away from teams in your division with Ole Miss and A&M. If you get two of these other three, one of these, how much of an impact, and maybe this is a better question for Richard, but what kind of impact does it ultimately have on where you fall in the league based on losing these guys here in the 11th hour?
So, Ote was a 3-star, I think, by most services. Lakeia Henry was a 4-star. I think Russell was a 3-star. So I don't know how much of an impact. You might have moved up a spot. I'm not the recruiting guy. That's more of a Richard question. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Tommy, it seems like, as you mentioned, Arkansas always gets the short end of the stick when it comes to recruiting day, national signing day decisions with these kids.
Well, some of the headliners they did also get. Lone Star, 4-star safety, Jalen Catalon, along with Traylon Burke, some guys that Chad Morris yesterday was pretty excited to be able to formally talk about.
We anticipate those guys being back and ready to go when they get here in June, full throttle and ready. They'll come up and go through evaluations for our team doctors, but our doctors will be in touch with theirs and making sure that everybody's on the right page, and so we anticipate those guys being ready to go for sure for fall camp.
All right, pushed the wrong button there.
That's okay.
But it sets up the next point. Both of these guys coming off of injuries.
ACLs, very.
And I thought I'd set up the other clip, but before we were going to get to that clip, but fat-fingered Kraft over here pushed the wrong button. Both of these guys coming off injuries in their high school season, and you heard Chad Moore, no sense in playing that again. Chad Morris talking about the team doctors communicating with their high school staffs and those guys going to be on campus. Both of these guys should be full tilt boogie, ready to go when they get here in June.
Burks might run track. this spring, which I wouldn't advise. I took a lot of time. The one thing I have in common with these guys, not being an athlete, but I tore my ACL when I was a senior, and I was very careful because I've had several friends who have torn their ACL, not once, but twice and three times. This is a very serious injury outside of a torn Achilles or just ripping your whole... I mean, this is a very impactful injury outside of Adrian Peterson. You don't see as many players as impactful as they were before they had this injury.
Here was the one I wanted to play first on Catalan. Let's go back and backtrack this.
Jalen Catalan, one of the top high school football players that I think I've ever seen, and top five for sure. Fantastic player. Been watching high school football for a very long time and recruiting for a very long time, and this young man is one of the best that I've seen.
And, you know, the secondary is obviously a place where Arkansas, you know, in order to compete, in order to match up with the elite wide receivers that are in the SEC, you better have some 4- and 5-star guys back there. This guy's going to fit the bill.
Yeah, he out of Mansfield Legacy, teammates with
three different guys out of
two. Torian Carter and Enoch Jackson are his two teammates. So it's rare, like Chad Morris was talking about at the press conference yesterday. Sometimes he's gotten two teammates, but he either had only done it one at a time or he has never recruited three teammates from the same school.
That's why, yeah, it's three guys out of the same school. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just very, very rare to have more than one, as he said yesterday, out of the same school.
And we were talking about how important the Dallas area and how important high school football in Texas is for Arkansas recruiting these kids. Chad Morris, this is from the Dallas Morning News. He has gotten six of the top 33 Texas high school, Dallas high school kids in that area. And that moving forward, again, he has so many connections with these high schools because he coached high school football for 16 years. Tommy, Brett Bielema, in his 5 years here, only got 20 Texas players to sign. Mm-hmm. In less than 2 years, more like a year and 2 months, a year, Chad Morris has got 10. So you can already see the difference in the recruiting the Texas area that Chad Morris brings that Brett Bielema just didn't hit on.
Would you say the pipeline's open? Is that overstating it?
It's not open. It's just more accessible. Because at the end of the day, you're not going to beat out Texas A&M. You're not going to beat out Texas, and you're not even going to beat out Oklahoma if those guys were really... Now, occasionally you'll get a player, one of those two, but there's so much talent there, Tommy. I mean, here's a stat for you. There's over 300 kids just in the Dallas area that are 3 stars or better. Mm-hmm. In the Dallas area. Well, now, that's encircling a lot, but that's just... you just don't have that in Arkansas.
But Ty, just looking at it, I mean, you're excited about one of the better classes you've had, and then... You hate to be the guy that keeps pouring a bucket of cold water on the campfire.
Pessimistic craft over here.
But it's just reality. It's not pessimism. It's reality. You're still 10th in the SEC. One of your best classes since they started ranking these things. It's not the best, but it's one of your best in the SEC era. And you're 10th in the league, 6th in the division, according to ESPN. And it varies a little bit, but it's not a lot. It's not like you can go look at another service and you're 3rd in the division. They're all going to be pretty much
kind of the same,
in like the same tier.
9, 10-ish.
Yeah. So it's just evident when you look at what Alabama did, what Georgia did, what A&M did. That's 1, 2, 3 nationally, by the way, folks. Alabama 1, Georgia 2, A&M 3. If that doesn't concern you a little bit, it should, because it concerns me. But Ty, it's clear. If you're going to sign 25 kids, you can only sign like 1, maybe 2, 3 stars. The rest all have to be 4- and 5-star players to be in that category of recruiting.
Yeah.
And Arkansas is, you can't even see that from where you're at right now.
So if you're Arkansas, you've signed 25 players at this point. That means it's transfer portal time. And we talked about a little bit in the first segment how Chad Morris was possibly looking at a quarterback. Nick Starkel, former Texas A&M quarterback who's in the transfer portal. He was on the Jim Dunning podcast, and he talked about possibly playing for Arkansas, which is interesting. I mean, he said it was a little weird that possibly going to an SEC school, but I think that's kind of like interesting that Arkansas is still reaching out to these quarterbacks, because you wonder how that would mesh chemistry-wise with Connor Nolan. He's at baseball right now. KJ Jefferson coming in, and then Ben Hicks.
Mm-hmm. So that, you know, the reality is you're going to have to use JUCO guys and, like I said, grad transfers in order to get this thing and to fill some needs, because
needs on the O-line we've talked about ad nauseum here, but there's an immediate need based on what happened yesterday at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to get some linebackers to shore this thing up.
Yeah, he's got, I think based on what I've talked to Nikki, Danny, other recruiting, we'll talk to Richard in a bit, it seems like you solidified your defensive line. The offensive line's better. It's not great. You got some secondary and corner players. Your wide receivers look like studs coming in. But that linebacker group, that's kind of one you want to circle and say, might need to get in at least one. Two would be better for depth.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod and Ruskin is Ranting podcast on hitthatline.com.